You're listening to a message from the audio library of the Oak Park Church, 1920 Chester Boulevard in Richmond, Indiana. Phone number, area code 765-962-3693. Now here's today's message.
Well, praise the Lord. Let me welcome you to the greatest church in Richmond, Indiana. Amen. That's what I say at home all the time. The best church in Newcastle. This ought to be the greatest church in Richmond. You home folks ought to be jumping up and down by now. Amen. A place where the Holy Ghost is poured out. A place where the power of God flows. A place where anointing runs rampant. A place where the Spirit of the Lord has free reign. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. I'm a shy person. I don't like to meet people. And I realize that that's not a terribly good trait for a pastor. When I walk in the door back there, and I won't talk to everybody. It ain't nothing against you. It's just I'm shy. But you know something changes when I get behind the pulpit, Brother Shindall. Amen. Because this is where God called me to be, and this is where I love to be, and I'm in my element in an apostolic church. I'm in my element where there's Pentecostal folks. I'm not one bit shy about preaching the gospel. I'm not one bit shy about proclaiming the message, the saving message of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's good to be in the presence of God. I'm excited tonight about having church. Amen. Are you going to sing? My wife, well, that's unfortunate. You are missing out. My wife doesn't feel like she needs to sing. Amen. So, let me just say how good it is to be with you tonight. If you would remain standing with me and grab your Bibles and turn to 2 Kings chapter 4. We are falling in love with your pastor and his wife. And we appreciate the friendship that has become ours. And we talk every now and then, and he's at a disadvantage tonight because I've heard him preach, and he don't have a clue what he's into. Amen. But a few weeks ago, we had the privilege of doing something together over in Cicero, and he preached an incredible message. If you hadn't preached that at home yet, you probably ought to preach that here. It blessed my soul. It's good to have the Newcastle folks. God bless you guys. These are precious people. Amen. Amen. My wife and I were talking on the way over here, and she said, "Honey, this reminds me of evangelizing, and I'm so glad we're pastoring." We traveled for 4.5 years, and if it'll be all right with you, I'm just going to slip into evangelist mode tonight. But we're so glad to be settled. We love the city that God has sent us to. We love the people and the church that God has sent us to, and He is giving us revival, and the church has seen growth this year, and I'm excited about the prospects. I keep telling our church in Newcastle, there's 1,000-member church in Newcastle just waiting to be dug out, and we are just... we're working at it. We're reaching for folks. Amen. I got word today that we had prayed for a young lady, a 14-year-old girl who is kin to some folks in our church. You guys from home don't know this yet. But Sunday night we got word that this young lady had been in a lot of pain all over her body, and it progressed until she was completely paralyzed from her neck down. And she's 14 years old. And I walked into the church today, and one of our ladies was getting ready to pray, and she said, "Pastor, let me tell you, I just got off the phone with Shonda," and she said that young lady that we had prayed for Sunday night, she told the folks at the hospital, "I'm feeling better," and she got out of bed, and they put her in a wheelchair, and presently she climbed out of that wheelchair, and she walked out of that hospital today all by her lonesome, with no help. I believe that's the hand of God. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you why that's important. Because in Newcastle, we've faced about every kind of sickness you can imagine in the past year. We've seen cancer and meningitis and leukemia and everything. And it just seems like all hell broke loose as we tried to have revival. And I'm telling you what I see in the past few weeks. I've seen some healing take place. And I'm starting to see us turn the corner. And I believe that we're going to get loose from all this. And I believe that God's going to give us the ability and the power to progress into the state of revival that He's called us to. Amen. That's a prophetic word right there. I'm going to take that home. That was for me. That was for me. 2 Kings chapter 4. I'm going to preach because it's weeknight and you got school and you got work. And but I'll tell you what, I feel like preaching. 2 Kings chapter 4 and 1. Thank you, Brother Shindall. What a privilege to be here. Man, I love you. You're an awesome, awesome man. I appreciate the friendship. And it's always good to have my wonderful wife, who is so beautiful that I still can't figure out how she said yes. But she is the greatest thing that ever happened to me outside of the Holy Ghost. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. What a rough culture. You can't pay your bills, I'll take your kids. And I will put them in slavery until the debt is paid. The scary thing about that is I can't find any place in the scripture where there was a set wage. I guess the creditor set the wage. He could set you at 10 bucks an hour or 50 cents an hour. He could keep you a long time. And Elisha said unto her, verse 2, What shall I do for you? And he asked her this question, Tell me, what have you got in your house? And she said, Thine handmaid has, I don't have anything in the house except a pot of oil. I think I could probably preach a little while tonight, but I won't, about if you only knew what you had in your house. If you only knew the oil. Then he said, Go and borrow vessels abroad of all your neighbors, empty vessels, and don't borrow just a few. And when you're come in, shut the door. You know, I wanted her to shut the door because he didn't want any distraction. He didn't want anybody to get in the way of the miracle. Sometimes we need to shut the door on everything outside because there's too much junk getting in the way of our miracle. Amen. Boy, we're going to be a while. So she went out from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, Bring me another one. And he said, There's no more. And the oil stayed. It quit flowing. And then she came and told the man of God. And he said, Now go and sell the oil and pay your debt. And live you and your children of the rest. And I'm going to tell you, that was a lot of oil. Because she was going to sell it for enough to live for a while. Not only pay the debt. Not only pay the debt, but enough to live by. God's not interested in just washing away your sins. He's not interested in just paying the debt, friend. He wants you to have enough to live on the rest of your life. He wants you to have enough to live by and live in and enjoy and experience. God wants you to have joy unspeakable, amen, and full of glory. He's not interested, friend, in just blessing you for today. And He's not interested in only dealing with your yesterday. But God's more interested in your tomorrow than He'll ever be in your past or your present. Amen. Amen. Let me preach to you tonight about the value of the oil. The value of the oil. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. And let it penetrate our hearts right now in Jesus' name. Let your spirit bless us. And let your glory fill this place in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I promise I'll try to hurry. My home folks know that means nothing. Thomas Paine made this statement that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. And what we obtain too cheaply, we esteem too lightly. 'Tis dearness only that gives everything its value. The harder the conflict, the better the victory. And if it didn't cost you nothing, it's easy to put in the trash can. Amen. That's why people get Christmas gifts and give them away the next Christmas because they didn't want them. Wrapped only in different paper. My dad told me, I got a regifter back here. My dad told me that an object is worth whatever you can sell it for and not a dime more. That's a pretty wide open statement. What it really means is it's worth whatever somebody will give you for it. And if you can get $10 out of it, it's worth $10. And if you can get $100 out of it, it's worth $100. That's the beauty of an auction. Because at an auction, you find out what it's really worth to somebody. Amen. I believe that's a whole lot of why we find Gomer on an auction block in the Word of God. Because it's on the auction block that you find out what the real value of something is. Because if it's valuable enough, it don't matter how high they push the price up, you're still going to pay for it. And I find the Word of the Lord showing me on an auction block. And He said, you know what? You're valuable enough that I'll pay whatever the price is. Amen. How much you get for whatever you're selling depends upon how valuable it is to the buyer. Got any eBayers here tonight? Boy, I've bought more stuff off eBay. I've got a high number of transactions. I've bought all kinds of stuff off eBay, and I have to watch myself because I can sit down with my little laptop on the couch with that wireless internet, and I can sit there and surf eBay for hours. And I'll shop from cars to computers to tools, and I seem to have a great wide interest. And I'll spend too much time with that thing, and I have to be a little bit careful. But I remember in the town I grew up in, Dyersburg, Tennessee. That Dyersburg was about the size of Newcastle, and Dyersburg didn't have too many millionaires. But there was at least one that I know of, for sure. Matter of fact, everybody knew him. His name was Ben Greenberg, and I hope nobody's here that knows him tonight. I'm not going to say anything bad about him, but I wouldn't want to make anybody mad at me for talking about him behind his back. But old Ben, he was quite an interesting character. He had more money than he'd spend in a lifetime. And you'd see him tooling around town in a beat-up old white Ford truck. And it had more dents than it had smooth places. And you knew the guy was made of money. He owned a trash pickup service, and he owned a scrap metal yard. And you walk into his offices, and it looked like a trash heap down there at the scrap metal yard. And all day long, his trucks ran picking up trash. He gave me a whole new understanding of one man's trash is another man's treasure. Because he took the trash off the streets and he turned it into $1 million and $2 million and several $1 million just picking up what everybody else was throwing away. Could I tell you tonight that Satan looks at people every day like they're trash? Amen. You're nothing more to him than the baggage of rubbish that you set out on the side of the road and you're thankful when they come and pick it up for you. Amen. You're nothing more to him than just a bag of garbage. But God sees your bag of garbage as Satan sees it and says there's a treasure inside of that. Honey, I'm not just a bag of rubbish, refuse, thrown out, put out, and given up on. I'm a treasure in the sight of Almighty God. What the world sees is trash, God says there's a treasure there. What the world sees is refuse, God says I will accept it into my presence and I will bless it and I'll multiply it. And I'll change it. And I'll make something great out of it. Amen. I don't know about you, but I don't care what the world sees in me. I'm more concerned about what Jesus sees. I'm more concerned about the potential that He sees. I'm more concerned about the future that He sees. Amen. Amen. You have value in the eyes of God. More than that, you're a treasure in the eyes of God. Why? Because He paid a great price for you. He paid a high price. I guess that the degree of dearness can be measured in the price of the purchase. I'll reiterate Thomas Paine. What we obtain too cheaply, we esteem too lightly. God is never going to look at you lightly because you cost Him too much. You were too high of a price to retain. There's another incident in the Scripture that's quite similar to the one that I just read to you. It is in the life of Elisha's mentor, Elijah, and has to do with a little Shunammite lady. He walked into town. Anybody know the story? Walked into town. She's gathering a couple sticks. He says, "Cook me a, make me a cake first. Give me a little bit to eat before you eat yourself." And she turns to him and says, "You don't understand. This is the last that I've got. My son and myself are going to eat this, and then we're going to die. And if you think I'm going to put you before my son, you're out of your mind, old man." And you know that story. I think a lot of people often associate that one with this one. And they're quite different, actually. You see, with Elijah and the Shunammite lady, it was cooking oil that kept pouring out of the vessel so that they could eat and have food. And the meal did not run out, and the oil did not run out. And these were the two vital ingredients for them to make breakfast and lunch and dinner. It wasn't a very wide menu. But it was what they had in the midst of a famine, and food was food, and they were happy to have anything they could get. That story is quite different from this one because that story deals with cooking oil. But if you will look into this story, you'll discover that the oil here in 2 Kings chapter 4 is not cooking oil, it is anointing oil. You see, when the prophet told her to start pouring the oil out into the vessels, she's not pouring cooking oil out. She is pouring perfume out. She's pouring precious ointment out. The oil that is being described here in 2 Kings 4 is anointing oil. It was oil that they would put on their bodies after bathing. It was something like deodorant to you and me, which I assume everybody here uses, and I hope the rest of you that don't will learn quickly. Man, but the oil that is being described here is oil to make you smell pretty. That's a challenge for some folks. But that's the kind of oil. It's not oil that you would cook with. You wouldn't want to cook with this. It's oil that you would put on your body, that you would apply to your life. And you need to understand that this oil was never applied before the person cleaned themselves. They would get cleaned up, and then the anointing oil would be applied to their bodies and their lives to try to improve their appearance and improve the atmosphere around them. But the oil was never applied before a cleansing took place. Could I tell you tonight, amen, the oil is a good representation of the blessing of the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Ghost, but it's never applied until somebody has been in the presence of the Lord and had themselves a spiritual bath. I call that repentance, where I get in the presence of the Lord and I begin to cry out, "Lord, I want you to wash me in your blood. I want you to cleanse me. I want you to purify me. I want you to clean me up, Lord." Amen. And then only and then the blessing of the anointing is poured out on a life, and you can begin to speak with other tongues as God will fill you with the baptism of His Spirit. I came to tell somebody tonight, amen, you can leave here filled up with the glory of the Holy Ghost. If you don't know what that is, it is the very infilling, the indwelling of the Spirit of the Lord in your life. Almighty God wants to get inside of you and affect you and bless you and help you. Everybody needs a spiritual bath every now and then. The oil is never applied before the bathing. You see, you don't get cleaned up to come to God. You come to God and He cleans you up. You don't have to get it all right before you come to the altars. Amen. You just got to realize that there's a God who can do more than I can. You don't have to have everything perfect. Some of you are waiting on getting all your ducks in a row, honey. They're always going to be in a crooked line behind you, mainly because the one in front of them is walking a crooked path so many times. Amen. Can I tell you that a straight walk is awful short? Amen. But the path between us and heaven sometimes is made much longer by veers to the left and veers to the right. If we could just get on the straight and narrow and stay there, I promise you life would be a whole lot easier. Amen. Don't go off this way. Don't get off on that direction. You just stay in the contact of the presence of God. Stay on the pathway of righteousness. Get in the Word of God and find it and supply application to your life. And I promise you, friend, living for God is the greatest life I've ever chosen, ever had the opportunity to. Amen. The New Testament version of all this little story literally is the infilling of the Holy Ghost. God has an order and He won't change the order. There must be a cleansing before there's an anointing. Amen. But the anointing is for your life. Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come and drink. Peter said, the promise is unto you and to your children and all that are far off. Oh, friend, you can receive the greatest experience. I think we ought to stop right now. And I think everybody here ought to just lift your hands and begin to talk to the Lord for a second. In Jesus' name, Lord, I've preached enough, Lord, to connect with somebody. I got a few more things to say that I feel like You sent me with, Lord. But I want You right now to begin to connect with somebody, Jesus. Lord, there's somebody that's hungry for Your Spirit and Your presence. God, there's somebody here tonight that just cannot seem to get it all straight. And they keep wondering why. Lord, I want You to reach to them tonight and tell them to quit worrying about getting it all straight. And just reach out to You and let You straighten things out. Come on, friend. Quit worrying about your failures. Quit worrying about your mistakes. Quit worrying about your bad habits. Quit worrying about your addiction. The name of Jesus still holds all power, and He can deliver you before you leave here. But it's not going to happen until you're willing to throw your own hands in the air and cry out, God, I've got to have a touch from You before I leave. Amen. Amen. When all is said and done, what really is the value of the oil? When it's at the end of the day, what can the oil accomplish in your life? What will be the result of the oil in your life? What will it add to your life? What will it allow you to do? What's the value of the oil? This lady in the Scripture is a widow. She has no ability to pay her debt. She has no income, apparently, or very little. Somehow, she has incurred a great debt, possibly incurred while a living husband was still there to provide. She still had the ability to make payments, but at his passing now, she has no ability to make good on the loan. And the creditor is coming. The creditor is desiring to take her teenage, probably young sons, and put them into back-breaking slavery and employ them until the price is paid. And by law, the creditor had the right to come and take those young men. I'm going to scare a few of you. By biblical right, Satan has a right to your soul. According to the Scriptures, we are shaping in iniquity, born into sin. Come out in a mess to begin with. We have tendencies. You don't have to teach a toddler to lie. They learn how all by their lonesome. You don't have to teach a teenager to lie. They become masters at it. Amen. You don't have to teach people to sin. It comes naturally. It just is a part of our nature. We come out of the womb with issues that we're going to deal with our entire lives. Amen. And by right and by law, we are destined for a tormentous place called hell. And Satan has every right to us until the blood of Jesus is applied. Amen. Until the anointing of the Holy Ghost reaches our life and everything changes. I gotta hurry. You see, though, with the outpouring of the Holy Ghost in the second chapter of Acts, and then the 8th, and then the 10th, and then the 19th, and on, and then just two Sundays ago, before we ever got to preach, three were filled with the Holy Ghost in our church, and we were excited about that, and I'm thankful for what the Lord's doing. A couple of them we've been praying for a while, and they finally broke through. Amen. But because of the outpouring of the Spirit of the Lord, now Satan has no right to me. Amen. Because he never understood the value of the oil that was going to be applied to my life. He didn't understand how precious it was. He did not understand the power of it. He did not understand the rescue that was going to take place when the anointing fell over my heart and over my life. I tell you, if you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, why don't you give the Lord a great hand clap of praise right now? Why don't you give him an ovation for the blessing of the oil? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Did you see that ushered in a whole new era? We call it grace. And we've kind of got that messed up a little bit. But I'll give you the short version. It is the debts are paid because of the blood of Jesus that's been applied to our lives. And the value of the oil that has been placed on my life. There's a transaction that's taken place. And when the enemy came to take me and enslave me and capture me, he got there and realized, oh no, there's something more valuable that he's got hold of. And I can look the devil in the eye today and say, your debt's paid. It's all been taken care of. You've no right to me. There's more value in the oil than you'll ever imagine. It's enough tonight, friend, to set you free. It's valuable enough tonight, friend, to give you hope for tomorrow. It's valuable enough tonight, friend, to change your life before you get out of this place. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Somebody, you can lift your hands right now. Begin to repent of your sins, and you're going to enjoy the oil as it flows over your life, and you begin to speak in other tongues as he fills you with his Spirit. Oh, in Jesus' name. Come on. Oh, we got to worship the Lord for a minute. Somebody, I'm telling you right now, I feel the stirring of the Spirit of the Lord. You can receive the Holy Ghost right where you sit, in Jesus' name. 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 The creditor came to me and said, I own your soul. But then he saw the oil and he didn't realize it had such great value. Amen. I tell you, friend, the value of the oil, it's great enough to prevent slavery. The value of the oil is strong enough to prevent and also heal addiction. She was about to have her family broken apart. But the oil's valuable enough to keep your family together. Amen. Yeah, I don't care what's going on at home. I don't care how rough it's gotten. I don't care if it's love on the rocks. I want to tell you about the value of the oil. It's a strong enough value. It'll keep your family together. It'll keep your marriage together. It'll heal broken hearts. It'll lift up the downtrodden. There's nothing like the value of the oil. Amen. She is about to lose everything she had. Everything that was precious was about to be taken. But the oil had value that no one knew about. I'm telling you, there is value in the oil. I get weary sometimes. Let me qualify this. I believe that there's a scriptural mandate to be filled, to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I believe that it's the only way you're going to walk through the gates of heaven. I truly believe that. But I think sometimes we focus a little too much on that. And the only value that we can find in it is the experience of speaking in tongues. And I'm telling you, God gave the Holy Ghost for more than you to stutter in glossolalia. God gave you the baptism of the Holy Ghost to keep you in his arms. He gave you the baptism of the Holy Ghost so you'd have wisdom to raise those crazy teenagers that give you trouble every now and then. He gave you the baptism of the Holy Ghost so that you'd have enough strength to turn away from the temptations of mankind. He gave you the baptism of the Holy Ghost for more reasons than just so that you could know I'm saved, sanctified, and on my way to heaven. He gave you the baptism of the Holy Ghost, friend, because the value of it is greater than just salvation. Amen. If I never, if it was not the way to salvation, I still want the Holy Ghost because it's still the greatest thing that ever happened in my life. It's still the greatest experience I've ever had the privilege of experiencing. It's still the greatest thing in the world. There's nothing like the oil. There is nothing like the anointing. Don't leave here tonight, friend, without having been baptized by it. Don't leave here tonight, friend, without having been overshadowed by it and completely washed over by it. There's value in the oil. There's value in the oil. Somebody say it. There's value in the oil. There's great value in the oil. Amen. I tell you, the value of the oil is enough to tell the creditor to get lost. You don't owe me. I'm telling you, somebody needs to wake up in the morning and you need to look in the mirror. And some of you are looking in the mirror and you're seeing the very face of Satan himself in your life because of the things you're struggling with. You need to look at Satan and you need to tell him, you don't own me. You just don't know about the value of the oil. You don't own me. You have no clue what's been applied to my life. You don't own me. You don't have any dominion over me. You don't have any power over me. Amen. You don't have any authority over me. There's oil. There, let me show you the oil. Let me show it to you. It's dripping off of my head. It's dripping off of my body. I'm like, we ought to be leaving a puddle of the anointing of the Holy Ghost every time we stand still. You don't own me. I have been bought with a price. My debts are paid because of the value of this oil that's been put on my life. Hallelujah. The value of the oil is enough to keep you from enslavement. Isaiah, one of my favorite scriptures, Isaiah 10:27, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off your shoulder. You need to understand something. You're carrying something that ain't yours. You're carrying a weight that's been dropped on you by the enemy. And you need to hear what Isaiah said in the day of the anointing. His burden, not your burden, shall be taken off your shoulder, and his yoke from off your neck, and the yoke, his yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Because of the anointing. When you check the translation of this word, it is the same word that you'll find in 2 Kings chapter 4, that the lady was pouring out of the pots. Because of the sweet savor of the Spirit of God. Because, I'm telling you folks, I was stinky. Little humor. I worked at UPS for 4 years in the middle of the night while I was attending seminary. St. Louis. And I worked with a guy and he stunk so bad. Now you have to understand, I learned how to work at UPS. That's work. They wore me out. I've never worked so hard in my life. I hope I never do again. As those 4 years of working in that place. 120 degrees in that metal building every night that you went in. Didn't matter if it was, well, in the wintertime it did cool off a little bit, but it was never any problem to work in short sleeves in there while it was 100 degrees or 0 degrees outside. And I worked with a guy. I'm telling you, I almost could not eat spaghetti for years because he smelled just like spaghetti every night. I know that's kind of atrocious, but I got a point. My life was stinky. I was awful. Boy, I could tell you about my teenage years, and I never got drunk. I never did drugs. I did all kinds of other stuff. I had a very powerful spirit of rebellion that was a part of my life as a teenager. Scripture says that the spirit of rebellion is still as the sin of witchcraft. There you go, teenagers. Amen. Because I was a teenager. And not very long ago, and don't argue with me. But my life was, it was rotten. They used to talk about throwing rotten tomatoes at apostolic preachers years back. I'm telling you, I just stunk. And a whole bunch of you are laughing, but you stunk too. Until the sweet smelling savor, the precious ointment of the Holy Ghost was poured over my life. And I'm telling you, all the stench went away. They didn't run from me because of how bad I smelled. People were standing around sniffing. Man, that guy smells good. What is that? It's the Holy Ghost. That's why people every now and then will come up to you and tell you, you know, there's just something different about you. That's why they'll come to you and ask you to pray for them on the job if you're really being a strong witness on the job. That's why they'll look at our wonderful ladies who make such a statement of separation, and they know that there's something different. And they get around you. I hope when they get around you that they can smell the sweet-smelling savor of the Spirit of the Lord, because the anointing never stinks. The anointing is never foul. The anointing never smells bad. The anointing is never repulsive. The anointing never drives people away, but it attracts them. It attracts the hurting. It attracts the addicted. It attracts the needy. It attracts the lost. It attracts the wandering. It attracts the backslider. It's the sweet smelling savor. The value of the oil. It'll help you become the greatest soul winner that ever tread in shoe leather if you'll just enjoy it and appreciate it and understand the value of the oil. I'm almost done. Runway's inside. Amen. I tell you, if you're in bondage, the oil, it's got enough value to break the chains. If you're carrying somebody else's load, I want you to know that you don't have to. The oil breaks the yoke. If you're addicted tonight to something, the anointing oil is strong enough and valuable enough to deliver you. If you are trapped or feel trapped tonight by the cares and the situations of life, there's been no prison door that could stand the value of the oil. If you don't have a way out and you know there's no way out, I'd like to point you to Calvary where the blood of Jesus flows. And the anointing oil is still there. And the sweet-smelling savor surrounds Calvary. And it can be applied to your life. If you can't break loose, God can break you loose with the anointing. And the yoke can be broken and removed and taken off your life if you've already been visited by the creditor. Now I'm going to stop. Because some of you have already been visited by the creditor. Some of you have already lost some stuff. I believe the value of the oil is enough to restore. I believe the value of the oil is strong enough to bring restoration into your life. If he's already claimed you as his own, the value of the oil is enough to get you out of his grip. If you're already under his control, the value of the oil is enough to bring you out tonight. Amen. It'll bring you past it. It'll take you out of all his authority and all of his dominion and all of his control. Amen. It's not your burden. It is not your care. It has already been bought at Calvary. I'll tell you, it is not God's will that you carry around the weight of sin. It is not God's will that you bear that burden. He has already paid for it to be lifted off your life. He's just waiting for you to make yourself available for the oil to break all the yokes. Amen. Amen. Just give me 10 more minutes and I'll shut up and go home. I'm telling you, Satan knows that the oil will deliver you. So he will plant lies in your life. And he'll tell you there's no way out. And he'll tell you that you're in too deep. And he'll tell you that you're addicted. And he'll tell you that you can't fix your situation. And he's right. Somebody say he's right. Amen. But God has oil that is valuable enough to fix your situation. Amen. Would you lift your hands with me? Let's just talk to him for just a moment. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. You've been waiting all night. I'm telling you. You're in the presence of the oil. Come on, somebody. Why don't we all across this place just begin to stand to our feet and lift our hands? Come on, friend. If this is a little foreign to you, but the Spirit of the Lord is dealing with your heart, you feel a tugging inside. You're not maybe familiar with it, don't know what all is going on. But I'm telling you, you're in the presence of a God that loves you, that is reaching for you, that has got His hand outstretched, trying to get a hold of you tonight. Amen. To bring deliverance to your life. Trying to bring strength into your life. Trying to bring joy into your life. I'm telling you, friend, the oil, the anointing of the Holy Ghost is what you are needing tonight. It is what is lacking in your life. Amen. Come on, somebody. Let the yoke be broken off your life. Let it be lifted off of your life. It is not your burden to carry. It is not God's will for you to carry that. It is not God's desire for you to be burdened down by that. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. I'm gonna help some folks out right quick. There's some folks that are members of this church, and you're just letting every bit of this pass you by, and you think I'm preaching over your head. Honey, I'm preaching right down your throat. If you would just let the Holy Ghost minister to you tonight, there's a breakthrough waiting for somebody. Amen. There's a breakthrough waiting. The oil, it's not dripping off you like it used to. It's not as active in your life as it used to be. It's not like it used to be. And I'm telling you in Jesus' name tonight, if you'd be willing to throw your hands in the air and begin to worship with a little bit of abandon, the oil, it's going to be unleashed on your life again, and you're going to leave here with the same zeal that you had the first time He filled you. You're going to leave here with the same power that the first time that He filled you. You're going to find the same passion. Come on. I'm not going to beg you, but I'm telling you the Holy Ghost is trying to break through on some folks. And you're just waiting around to see who shouts first. Honey, quit worrying about who's going to shout. The Holy Ghost is attempting to lift the burden off your life tonight that you ought not be carrying. Oh, I feel the presence of the Lord sweeping through this place so sweetly. You know what? I'm not done preaching, but I think there's some folks that are hanging on to your pew for dear life. You need to let go of that pew and start making your way into the aisle. I got one more thing I got to tell that's very important. Amen. But I think there's people that the Lord is dealing with. Altars open. Don't be waiting around for somebody to push you. Come on, friend. The Holy Ghost is here. The anointing is here. The value of the oil is so great. Amen. That it'll change your life completely. Hallelujah. 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 In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
You've been listening to a message from the audio library of the Oak Park Church, 1920 Chester Boulevard in Richmond, Indiana. For more information concerning other messages in our audio library or for service times, please feel free to give us a call at area code 765-962-3693. That's area code 765-962-3693.